הפרקופים הבאים, to כשוב לך דודי, או עיניו שבת קודש, פרשת אמור, where we're starting a parasha that has to do with the Kohanim. And in this parasha we found that the Torah has a lot of different restrictions, what a Kohen is allowed to do, what is not, when is he not allowed to work in Beit HaMikdash. And there's a whole list of things that Kohanim must follow in order not to lose their kehuna. And when the Torah comes to speak about working in Beit HaMikdash, the Torah adds to that a new list. And the Torah says in that list that the Kohen must not have any of the blemishes. And this is what the words of the Torah. וידבר אדוני אל משה לאמור, דבר אל אהרון לאמור, איש מזרעך לדורותם אשר יהיה בו מום, לא יקרב להקריב לחם אלוהיו. So Hashem speaks to Moshe, and he says to him that any of, he says to direct to the Kohanim, and to say to Aaron that any of his offsprings throughout the generation that will have any kind of blemish that's on the list that we're going to see now, should not come near to offer the food of Hashem, should not bring the korban to Hashem. What are those blemishes that are mentioned over there? These are the blemishes. Ki kol ish asher bo mum lo ikrav. Any blemish should not come close to bring the korban. Ish iver, a person that is not able to see, a blind person. O piseach, a lame person. Charum, charum means a nose that has no bridge. Sarua, sarua is also a person that has a limb longer than the other side. O ish asher yeh bo shever regel, a person that has a broken leg. O shever yad, a broken hand. O giben, o dak, o tvalul be'eino, o garab, o yalefet, o meroach hashech, and so on and so forth. Any of those blemishes, a person can come to work in the Beit HaMikdash. Kol ish asher bo mum mizer aharon hakohen, lo yigash lakriv et ishei Adonai mum bo, et lechem olav lo yigash lakriv. The Torah emphasizes again and again and again, should not come. Lechem Eloav b'kodshei hakodashim min hakodashim yochel. He could eat, but he should never come to work in Beit HaMikdash. And the obvious question when anybody learns this psukim would have that, what's going on over here? Who are we talking about? We're talking about a Kohen that his only fault was that he was born handicapped. He was born with a blemish. It's not his fault. This is the way that he was born. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him like that. And he's a Kohen. And this Kohen is somebody who could be very righteous. So imagine like this. You have a family of 10 kids in a family. And 9 of the kids are some more religious, some less. They're not as strong as their other brother that has that blemish. You have that brother that has a blemish. He's a real tzaddik. He sits down and learns all day. He does chesed. He runs for people. He gives tzedakah. He does everything in his strength and power to make what he needs to do and to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the right person. He treats people in the most highest respect. He's nice to everybody. So that person, only fault that he can't go to Beit HaMikdash is because he has a broken hand, he's handicapped, he's broken leg, he can't walk regular, he's a little bit limping. That is problem, that's it. Because of that, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're out. So all the 9 brothers that are not near his level of righteousness could go every time they need to go. They go to Beit HaMikdash. They work in Beit HaMikdash. It's a beautiful scene working in Beit HaMikdash. They come back home. Everybody's honoring them. The Kohanim that work in Beit HaMikdash, they go to Yeshiva. People feel that you have over here such chashuv members of the Yeshiva. They go to Beit HaMikdash to work and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Korbanot. But when we come to that brother, everybody knows he's the outcast, he's the one that nobody pays attention to, he's the one that can't go to Beit HaMikdash. What's wrong? What did he do? What's his evil? What's his crime? He's handicapped. How does that work in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created him handicapped would tell him, you stay home while your brother all will go to Beit HaMikdash together with their father and make a whole beautiful serving to Hashem. It's a holiday going to Beit HaMikdash. You bring korbanot, so they would gather all together, pick up the minivan or the van that can fit the 10 kids with the father, they're going to Yerushalayim, going to the inside Beit HaMikdash, beforehand they're preparing, they're going to do all kind of different preparation to be metahel themselves. They're also doing a hachana of their nefesh, the inside, in order to go and see, and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the only one that stays behind is that kid. How does that make sense? Today we're going to try to explain that and see that really what the Torah means over here would be surprising to most of us. So if you take a look at Sefer HaChinuch, Sefer HaChinuch is one of the main Rishonim that writes us the reasons of the Torah, Ta'amei HaMikra, which means what the mitzvah comes to tell me here. It's very, very important for us to understand what the Torah really wants to hint, what the Torah wants to really say, because we take those reasoning and we apply them better with that mitzvah. So it comes the Sefer HaChinuch, it says here that Mishorshei HaMitzvah, the reason of the mitzvah, that you should not have one with a blemish working in Beit HaMikdash. לפי שרוב פעולות בני אדם רצויות אל לב רואיהם לפי חשיבות עושיהם. Since a person gets impressed or he has a roshem, which means he feels according to the person that was doing the act. So if you see somebody is chashuv, somebody elevated doing an act, you get a different kind of impression from that act that he was doing than if he would be somebody that doesn't look so important. So you have over here those Kohanim that look very representable. They're going to do Avodah in Beit HaMikdash. The people that are seeing it are getting impressed from the Avodah much more rather than if you would have somebody limping coming to do the Avodah, somebody is blind that's coming to do the Avodah, which looks a little bit like on the weaker side. It's like a Nebach. He's like somebody who you feel mercy for. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains, Ki be'yot ha'adam chashuv b'mar'ehu, when you have a person that looks good, ve'tov b'masav, and he behaves nicely, im tzachen v'sechel, tov b'chol asher ya'aseh b'enei kol ro'av. Everybody that would see his actions right now, he comes to Beit HaMikdash and he does the avodah, people would relate to it and they would feel good about what he was doing. If somebody is the opposite, doesn't look representable, doesn't look so nice, pachut betzorato, umshune be'evarav, he doesn't look as good and his body limbs are not fit as they should. Ve'im yashar be'lachav, although he's correct with his deeds, which means he's a righteous person, lo ye'otu pe'ulotav kol kach elev ro'av. That's not going to have an impression, the correct impression, on the people that are viewing this, that are seeing this. Al ken be'emet ra'u li'ot shliach, sh'akaparat lu'ya alav ishchen. Therefore, the agent that the kapara comes because of him should look good. This is how Sefer HaChinuch explained. Yefe to'ar, yefe mar'eh, na'e b'chol drachav, he should look good, he should behave. The way he acts, the way he conducts himself, should look beautiful. Leman itfesu machshevot bnei ish acharav. In order that people should attach themselves to what's going on over here. So that's a very strange thing what he's saying. When you're reading it on the surface, you understand over here that you're punishing the Kohen because people don't view this correctly. Those people that are looking at the Kohen, they see somebody with a blemish, they see somebody that is blind, you see somebody that is lame, you see somebody like that, you're not going to appreciate his acts in Beit HaMikdash, his actions. He brings a korban. People say, ah, so because of that, you come to punish him? They should be punished, not him. The answer to that is sometimes the Torah gives us mitzvot that those mitzvot are meant for the people themselves. When we're talking about the mitzvah to bring a korban, Rav Shimshon Nefal Hirsch in the beginning of Vayikra explains that korban means not like people think. We gave a shiur about this once. Korban doesn't mean like people think that you sacrifice something, you give something from yourself. You take an animal and you burn it. You lose that animal for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Although that's what you're doing, but that's not the definition of the word korban. Korban means In Lashon HaKodesh, something else. In other languages, when we're talking about a sacrifice, that's what it means. It brings an offering. You bring, you offer something, which means you give something from you, and that it should be for the God. The Rosh Hashanah of Al Hirsch said that not in Judaism. In other religions, it seems like the God is hungry, the God is needy, and you need to bring out something for him to calm his need, to satisfy his need. Comes, Rosh Hashanah of Al Hirsch explains, not in Judaism. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not hungry, and he doesn't need anything. So what does he mean, Korban? Says says Rav Hirsch that it means milashon kirva, closeness. Korban means when you bring a gift, you become close. Not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes closer to us. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is always close to us, but we feel the distance. And therefore, when you bring a korban, you feel closer to the person that you gave the gift to. It's like a person that gives a gift to his friend. So when he gave a gift to his friend, he automatically feels now closer to his friend. Even if his friend felt close all the time. But if you want to feel close to somebody, you do for him, and that act will bring you close to that person. This is the idea of korban. So when we're dealing over here with that, we're dealing with the society that needs to bring a korban in order to come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be mekarev themselves to the Shekhinah Kedosha. And therefore, the only way that that will be done is if they feel that, as the Tosfot explains in Baba Batra, that Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, Tosfot says to us that when people went to Beit HaMikdash, they would feel so much elevated from that trip, from that journey to going to Beit HaMikdash and getting there and seeing Kohanim Ba'avodatam, Levi'im Ve'duchanam, Ve'shiram Ve'zimram. That was an unbelievable scene. So people would get elevated by that very much. It would go home, it would give them a boost of Yirat Shamayim, a boost of Chizuk in Emunah, and so on and so forth. So therefore, since that is the purpose of the Korban, comes the Torah and says the following idea. Look, we are really the people that have the blemish. It's not that person that is handicapped. The person that is handicapped, it's nothing wrong with him. He could be much more elevated than anybody else. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yireh LaLevav, which means Hashem looks at the person's heart. He doesn't look at the physical appearance of a person. Hashem doesn't care about that. Hashem looks at the heart. But unfortunately, some of the mitzvot are not meant for other things than for us to feel the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So comes the chinuch and explains to us the reason for the fact that you can't have a kohen working in Beit HaMikdash if he has a blemish is because it's going to defeat the purpose. Since we are so defected, since we are thinking so negative, since we view things in such a wrong way, so therefore we're going to see that person with a blemish and we're not going to feel that closeness that we need to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to appreciate what he was doing. So the only way, Hashem says, to appreciate the beautiful thing of bringing a korban is if it's going to be done behod, be'adar, it's going to be done with all the scenes around it. If you go to a shul, and if you go to a nebuch, small shul that doesn't look good, it's falling down, you don't feel that your tefillah is as good as you see it in a large shul with chandeliers and everything is painted. Many people are affected by the look of the place. Why is that? Does it make a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu where you pray in this shul or that shul? Not at all. But rather, this is the way we feel. So because we are so defected in with the understanding, so we look at the person that has that deficiency and we think that is something wrong with the act of here. We don't get impressed. We don't get that elevation that we need to get from the korban that we bring. Comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, because of that, you can't change society. How are you going to change society? Because of that, we're not going to have that kohanim with the blemish bringing a korban. Obviously, our thoughts are wrong. And obviously, each person should try to change the way things. But since you can't change society at large, and since this is how people view things, says the Sefer HaChinuch, the only people that would work in Beit HaMikdash would be people that look well. And it's interesting that you find such a thing even in the Kohen Gadol. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol that's supposed to be the one and only that is so elevated, much more than his brothers. A Kohen Gadol Me'echav, he's much more elevated and greater than his brothers. Say Chazal, a Kohen Gadol Me'echav she Gadol Me'echav Benoy, he should look more beautiful than others. Be'osher, he should have more money than others. Be'koach, he should have strength. Be'chokhmah, he should be wise and smart more than others. Uve'mar'eh, in his looks. So very interesting. This Kohen Gadol, he could be the most righteous person. He could be the person that could do that could come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and could change the things around in Beit HaMikdash for the good for everybody. He could go into Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom HaKippurim and ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring peace and to bring rain and to bring wealth and to bring health and to bring a lot of things, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu would listen to him over others. But the Torah says that Kohen Gadol must be beautiful, must be rich, must have strength, must be powerful, must be smart, and must look good. What does that mean? What's the reason for all that? And the reason is because since Kohen Gadol is somebody that people look up to, so we are so defected, we think so wrong, that we are, our heart is connected to such wrong things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to say that since this is how people view Kohen Gadol, this is how you view somebody is important, and therefore you look at the physical, and therefore because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have no choice but to bring such a Kohen Gadol to take the job. And so much so that if a Kohen Gadol, let's say, doesn't fit a condition that could be met by the people, like for instance, if he doesn't have money, we said he needs to be wealthy. What does that have to do with Beit HaMikdash? Because of the reason we're explaining. But if he doesn't have the wealth, he doesn't have the money, Chazal tell us, En lo minayin shegadlu meshelechav, Talmud lomar gadol meechav, shegadol meechav, which means, if he doesn't have money, there's a mitzvah to give him so much money that he becomes wealthy, he becomes rich. Why is that? Because if he goes to Beit HaMikdash to work in Beit HaMikdash, where everybody knows that he's not a rich person, again, you don't feel the same way, unfortunately. We look at rich people and this is what we appreciate. The wealth, the money that they have. So therefore, because of that, we have to relate to the Kohen Gadol in such a way and give him money in order to make him rich. Very, very interesting idea that when we go to Beit HaMikdash, we impressed from the wrong things. It's very interesting that you'll find this many times that you walk into a shul. I walked up one time to a shul and I had with me a Baal Teshuvah, fresh. He made Teshuvah 2 months before. He didn't know anything yet, and he didn't learn anything yet. Mamish just made Teshuvah. But he right away put all the 8 clothing, the Shmoneh Begadim, Mamish, the whole 9 yards. He had a hat, a fancy hat. He had a whole suit on him, and he grew up a beard. So within 2 months, he grew up, he looked already impressive. I walked up with him into a certain shul, and people stood up for him. Now, they stood up for him, he just started. What's the idea? The idea is we are impressed from looks very much, and this is what we look, and this is where, the way we relate to things. And therefore, the Torah says the blemish is not in the person that's handicapped, it's not in the person that's blind, not in the person that is walking with a broken feet. Broken head. No. The blemish is with the people. And since we are so defected with such blemishes, so therefore we can't have him serve in Beit HaMikdash. And this is how we found, for instance, that other places we don't treat him that way. Like, for instance, when you have a din that the Kohen has to get to do things first, v'kidashto, that you have to treat the Kohen with respect, over there, like for instance, you give him first to do beracha, you give him first aliyah la Torah, you give him all kinds of things first. Over there, we don't find that there's a difference between a Kohen that has a blemish or doesn't have a blemish. Because over there, it's not about being that about impressing us. It's about honoring him. Honoring him, it's for him. Over there, he'll get the honor to go first to the Torah, to get first to do the zimun in Birkat HaMazon. The Kohen will come out first, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, in the end of Kuf Kaf Chet, and it's brought down that although a Kohen Katan that's not fit for Avodah would not be Bichlal B'Kiddushto, a Kohen Baal Mum would be Bichlal Vikidashto. Why is that? Because Vikidashto, the explanation to that says the Chinuch, Kevan Shebaze En Atam Lefi Sheyadua Ki Mikvod HaAdon Lechaved Meshartav. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu honors those that serve him. ובכל עת כבדנו הכהנים נזכור ונקבע במחשבתנו כבודו ברוך הוא וגודלו בזכות המחשבה הזכה והמעולה ורצון הטוב תחול ברכתו ברוך הוא וטובו עלינו והוא חפץ בברכה. Which means you have to honor those that are כהנים. You have to give him the honor. You will give him the honor. He does things also that are fit to do for a Kohen. Like for instance, he does נשיאות כפיים and so on and so forth. So Torah says, וקידשתו, you have to honor him. But when we're talking about going to Bet HaMikdash, it's not about him, it's about us, the way we view things. And since we're not going to appreciate having such a person, therefore, the Torah says that we will relate to the way people see things, unfortunately, the way that we think. And this is Be'etzem, what the Gemara says in Bava Batra, the Feud Amud Bet. The Gemara speaks over there about Yosef Bre de Rabbi Yeshua. And he became sick. Yosef Bre de Rabbi Yeshua Chalash, he became sick. Ingid, he also died. But he died only for a short period of time, few minutes, few seconds, and he came back to life. So his father asked him, Machazit, what did you see? When you died for that few minutes, what did you see? He told him, Olam Afuch Raiti, I saw a world that is the opposite. It's not the normal world. It was the opposite world. Olam afuch ra'iti. Elyonim lemata v'tachtonim lemala. I saw people that are over here considered elyonim, great people, more elevated people. I saw them down. V'tachtonim, those are people don't pay attention to. Those people that you don't give respect to, lemala, those were on top. Rashi explains, otam shayu elyonim kan mechamat oshran, those that had money over here in this world, and therefore people respected them. Ra'iti sham shem lemata, in the next world, they were all the way on the bottom. Ve'tachtonim, those that were on the bottom, I saw them over there, lemala. Ra'iti aniim shem benenu shfelim, I saw the poor people that over there are, over here are poor, over there, sham ra'itim chashuvim. Over there, they are very, very important. So, his father told him, Rabbi Yeshua told him, olam barur ra'ita. This is a correct vision. This is a correct way. You didn't see something the opposite. That is the correct way. So, what's the explanation to what happened over here? Yosef, his son, didn't know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays people not according to their wealth, but rather according to their Me'asim tovim, according to their mitzvot, according to their irat shamayim. Of course he knew that. What did he tell him? Olam afuch ra'iti. Of course it's different than over here. And over there, it doesn't go like that. Olam ha'emet, you don't see such things. What was the difference between what he told him and that he answered him? Olam baru ra'ita. Olam afuch ra'iti, Yosef meant, different than this world. And his father answered him, you saw a correct world. You're talking about something else. You're talking about the next world. It's in the next world, it's olam barur, it's a correct way. In this world, it looks like olam afuch, it's different than this world. What did he tell him different than his understanding? I think what happens over here is that Yosef understood that when you see a rich person, sometimes that rich person, it does beautiful things. He gives tzedakah, he goes to shul, he buys the aliyot. He gives that money to Torah. He gives that money to poor people. Beautiful things. It could be that he learns Torah as much as the poor person. He gives much more than him. It could be that he does even more than him. So therefore, because of that, the Ashirim, the wealthy people, should be on the bottom in the next world. He told him, I don't understand. Olam afuch ra'iti. Those people that I saw in the shul that are rich, but they are rich with doing a lot of good deeds. And the poor people that were sitting near them, they're also not, they weren't so involved in doing so many good things. So the rich person, of course, not for his money, but he's for his acts and for his giving tzedakah and for running to do good things for people and trying to build up a congregation and so on and so forth. For that, they should get reward. Why not? Why is it that in the next world I saw those rich people that did so many good things over here were on the bottom?
while the poor person that was sitting near him and didn't do that much, I saw him on top. Doesn't make sense. So his father told him, no, you saw the correct way. And the understanding over here was that we are more than just what we see. Because many times a person works and does things, but he's motivated by doing because of the society. Which means, if I do a good thing because the pressure that I have from society or because of the good things that society comes to pump me up, not necessarily that it's, I would get the same reward as somebody that does something without the society pumping him up. And this is how the Sefer Chinuch tells us on the second reason why you can't have somebody with a blemish. He says, Milvadze, another reason for the fact that you can't have people with a blemish working in Beit HaMikdash, אפשר שיש בשלמות צורתו רמז לעניינים שמתוך מחשבות האדם, people that look at him, בהם תתהר נפשו ותתעלה. People will see him, people will view him, and they see somebody that doesn't have a blemish, somebody that looks good, they would respect him. So since they respect him, they would pump him to do good things. Again, Sefer Chinuch says, מלבד זה אפשר שיש בשלמות צורתו, a person that looks well, is shalem betzurato, there are remez leinyanim shemitoch machshavot ha'adam bahem, since people view him positively, titaer nafsho v'titale, therefore he would be more elevated automatically because of that. Why? Because if you give somebody a compliment, you build him up, he does becomes a better person. But if you criticize a person, boom, you're pushing him down. That's the way he feels. He feels lousy, he's going to behave lousy. So therefore, it doesn't mean that really in reality the person is better. It just means that you pumped him up. Where's the test? You take that person that gets compliments all the time, put him somewhere that people don't know him. Is he still such a person that's doing so much? Or over there, since he doesn't have the people around him praising him, he's not going to do any of that. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua told his son. He told him, Olam baru ra'ita. You think that the rich person you saw that does so much, he should be on top even in the next world. No. He's doing all that many times just because of the people surrounding him. They're giving him so much compliments. They're looking up to him. So he wants to keep up to the people that's around him. The poor person is doing whatever he's doing without anybody praising him, without anybody pumping him. It could be that people even criticize him. I heard one time a paladic thing. I heard this from one of the big mashgichim. In the name of one of the big mashgichim, he says that today bachurei yeshivot could be greater than Rabbi Akiva Iger. That's what he says. Unbelievable. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva Iger, whenever he went to anywhere, people would be all around him, people would honor him and praise him and so on and so forth. So that itself is something that pumps a person up. Now, I don't know if you could say that about Rabbi Akiva Iger, but I didn't say that. It's not my vote. But a bachur yeshiva today, he walks around, people don't look at him. If anything, people laugh at him. People, they see him on the line, they would cut his line. People would misbehave to him. He's not treated nicely. And still, he sits and learns and does his best. And he's elevated every day. Such a person could be in a higher madriga than Gdolei Hador. And therefore, that's what it says over here. Olam barur ra'ita. You see a person over here in this world that he doesn't have all this surrounding that pumping him up, is much higher level than those people that doing much more, but the whole society keeps on praising them and keep on giving them all the compliments constantly. And this is a very important yesod. And that is something that people could be mistaken from seeing the wrong people. With that, we get to some idea that I saw in a Gemara, and we'll say a pshat in it. The Gemara says that there was somebody in the name of Yehuda ben Gerim. Yehuda ben Gerim, the Gemara in Shabbat, Lamed Gimel, tells us that he was the one that spoke out over what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said about the Romans, and eventually got to them, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was constantly, he was supposed to be killed by the Romans, he was on the run constantly, and until the Gzerah was canceled. And now when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came out and he saw Yehuda ben Gerim, he was so upset with him that Yehuda ben Gerim, just from the Akpada of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, died instantly on the spot. So this Yehuda ben Gerim was not a simple person. Tosfot over there in Shabbat Lam Gimel says that he was a great man. He was a Gavar Rabba. Where do we find that? Because the Gemara says in Moed Katan that Yehuda ben Gerim was a Talmid of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, when he spoke to his child, to his son, Rabbi Eliezer, he told him, go to Yehuda ben Gerim. אמר ללברי בני אדם הללו אנשים של צורה הם זיל גבאום דלברכוך. Go to them, they'll give you a ברכה. These are אנשים של צורה. יהודה בן גרים is a place, is a person of shape, which means, seems to mean that a great person, אנשים חשובים, אנשים צדיקים. So he went to him and he asks him to give him a ברכה. My father, רב שמעון בר יוחאי, asked me to, I should go to you to give, that you should give me ברכה. So this is what he told him as bracha. Amar le'ravadet Yisra'a ve'lo techtzad. It should be ratzon, yei ratzon. It should be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would let you plant but not cut and harvest what you planted, which means it's not a bracha anymore. It's a bad thing. Te'ail ve'lo tipok. Bring in merchandise. Means to say merchandise. Te'ail, bring in ve'lo tipok. Don't take out, which means you're stuck with the merchandise in the store. Te'pok ve'lo te'ail. Lechrov betcha, your house should be destroyed. Letuva shpezinach levalvel patorach, the guests that would come to you would mix up your tables. Velotit chaze shata achrita chadeta, which means don't, you should not see a new year. Terrible things, terrible things. So Rabbi Eliezer went back to his father. He told him, look at that. You sent me to them to get bracha. Not only I didn't get bracha, they would give me so much pain with everything that they said. So Shimon Bar Yochai said, no, you didn't understand what's going on over here. They did give you a bracha. When they said, for instance, the words of you should bring in and don't take out, what you should bring in? Bring in a kala and never let her go, which means you should stay married with her. Tipok velo te'al, what did they mean by that? You should take out your wife, your daughter, you should take out your daughter and marry her to somebody. Never bring her back. That's a bracha. Why bringing back a daughter home after she was married. That's a klala. They gave you bracha, and this is how we explained to him of Shimon Bar Yochai everything. But what does it mean over here? Why did they say it? Why Yehuda ben Gerim said it in such a way? Say straight away, the say it as a bracha. Why did you have to flip it around in a negative way? There's a different explanation to that. Someone explained it, and Yaakov says that he wanted that of Shimon Bar Yochai should be the one that's giving the bracha. So he said it in a way that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai would go back to his father, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai would explain to him, and that would be chal the bracha from the great Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Others want to say that it's brought down in the Yetev Lev, in Fusforim, that what they did is they covered up the bracha, because if you say only bracha, so the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, comes to grab that bracha. But when it looks negative, it doesn't have a place to grab, and therefore that's the way they did it. This is a different explanation. But I want to say a different explanation why they did it in such a way. Because what did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai call these people? Anashim shel tzura. Yehuda ben Gerim is a place of is a person of shape. What does it mean, person of shape? In Gemara Ta'anit Tzayin, when the Gemara speaks about the speeches that they give in a Ta'anit, who gives the speeches over there? The Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan, im yes zaken omer zaken." If there's an older person, a Talmid Chacham, he should say divrei kibushim. V'im lav omer Chacham, v'im lav omer Adam shel tzura. If you don't have a zaken, you don't have a Chacham, who should say the speech and divrei kibushim? Adam shel tzura, person of shape. Says Rashi, "Bal komach ishmeu ve'kablu dvarav." A person of shape that people should accept his words. So Yehuda ben Gerim was a person of shape, means a person that looks big, a person that looks nice, a person that has all the qualities that we explained before. Is a Baal Koma, is a Baal Osher, is a Baal Chochma, is a Baal Tzura, is a Baal Noi Koach, everything that maybe a Kohen Gadol has. So Yehuda ben Gerim had all that. It looks good. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wanted to teach his son a lesson. Go to that people. They look good. Go get a bracha. So when you see such a person, you get excited. You see somebody that looks so elevated, long white beard, tall, big, looks good. He has money, he has wealth, he has everything, people running after him. So of course, such a person would have the impression on you. Yehuda Ben-Gerim understood that that was the reason of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and he told him everything negative to show him that don't be impressed by the looks. Go to your father and get the bracha from your father. That is Anashim Shel Tzura. Anashim Shel Tzura, Rashi says, Baalei Koma. What happens to Baalei Koma when they told people? Rashi says, Ishmeu Vekablu Dvarav. People hear the words, they accept it, and they do as they say. That's wrong. That's what you should listen to. You should listen to people of Anashim Shel Tzura. You should listen to people and be impressed from people that have Torah, that have Yirat Shamayim. That's called Holam Afuch Ra'iti. And therefore comes the Torah over here in this Psukim and tells us that although it's wrong to think in those lines, along those lines, that when you see a person that looks good, is the person that serves in Bet HaMikdash. And a person that has a blemish, he should not worship, works in Bet HaMikdash. But although that's the wrong outlook, but sometimes you have no choice, because if the whole reason for going to Bet HaMikdash for people is to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to bring a sacrifice and go back home and be elevated by Kohanim b'avodatam ulvim b'duchanam b'shiram u'zimram and so on. So if that is the case, obviously you have to have all the ingredients to make people feel that way. Otherwise you're defeating the purpose. And therefore, that Kohen, that really could be much more elevated than others. He doesn't need anything to be pumped up. He has everything, but he has a blemish. Sometimes a person with a blemish is much more elevated than others because he understands that he has to do it on his own. He understands that society doesn't appreciate him. He comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that brings him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He builds up his emunah, his bitachon, his feeling of what the Torah wants us to feel. But those people that don't have that, everything goes for them very well. Everything is perfect by them. They don't have those feelings. So sometimes the reason you'll have to give them that impression that they are important is to pump them up, although they don't have that. Why? In order for people, when they see them working, to feel also that avodah is so chashuv. You have no other choice. Sometimes, since the society has that deficiency, therefore, the Torah would relate to it, and this is one of the places that we found such a thing.